to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Fantastic. There's one hand in the back. So many times we as Christians, we live in the world, and if you ask people around us, you know, if you ask your neighbor, many of the people won't even know that we are Christians. You know, we look exactly like the world. We act exactly like the world. We make our decisions based on the world. And I really feel that that is not God's heart. We should be different. We should look different. We should act different. Amen? So, in a nutshell, that's what this sermon is all about. So, the name of the sermon is Setting Your Mind on Things Above. But before we start, let's just close with prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this evening, Father. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and meet with you, Father. Father, Father, this whole evening, Father, is all about you, Father. And Father, whatever you want to do, Father, our hearts is just to meet with you. Our hearts is just to finish you, Father. Have your way in this service, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, Father, I just declare, Father, my total dependence on you, Father. Father, I pray that you touch my lips, Father, that you'll anoint my lips, Father, and every word that comes out of my mouth, Father, will bring glory to your name, Father. Father, this sermon, Father, I cannot do it on my own, Father. Father, I need you, Father. Have your way in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we'll start off by reading. John 9 from verse 4. Jesus speaking here. I must work the works of him who sent me, while it is still day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of this world. With emphasis on the, I must work the works of him who sent me. As Jesus' followers, we must do exactly that. We must live our lives. We must do the work of God who sent us. You know, and Jesus said that as long as he's in this world, he is the light of this world. And that also is our job, to be the light in this world. We are the ones who bring hope, who bring life, who bring clarity. But how do we do that with a world that constantly just bombards us completely, you know, with the media? That tells us what to think, what to wear, what to eat, what to drink, what cars to drive, what areas to stay in. And if that is not enough, you know, just spending time with people, it sometimes feel like you just can get contaminated. You just get pushed down. Sorry, this thing's just bothering me. It really feels like it's a struggle these days just to be a Christian, to be the light in this world. You know, and as I said, we are supposed to be the people that is like a little kerosene in a dark room. You know, everybody in the office should know that you're the Christian. If their brother is sick, they'll run to you and they ask, pray with me. Everybody in your classroom is supposed to know that you're the Christian and say, listen here, I'm freaking out about tomorrow's test, so just pray with me. Amen? But how do we do that? Let's read the Bible again. Romans 12, from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. On the one way, it says, do not conform. Do not become like this world. You should become something. Okay? Instead of conforming, transform your mind by the get transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, we are in this world, but we are here to make a difference. We are here to look differently, act differently, smell differently, be differently, just completely be different. Amen? But now again, you know, it's easy to see that there is a problem. But what is the answer to the problem? You guys are very quiet. Let's start with a joke. This 6-year-old kid goes to Sunday school. And the parents ask him afterwards, "So what did you learn in Sunday school?" And he says, "No, I learned everything about Adam and Eve and the whole paradise thing." And yeah, the mother's just like really impressed. She's like, "So tell me more." And so the son tells her about, you know, how God created man and how man sinned and how man was cast out of Eden. And the mother's just really impressed. "No, definitely next Sunday we're going back there." But about Tuesday, the son comes to the mother and says, "I feel a bit ill." Mother says, "What's wrong?" He says, "No, I've got this funny pain here in my ribs. I think I'm going to get a wife." Okay, now that you're awake, we can go on. Now, as I said, it's very easy to know that we as Christians should be different. We as Christians should be the hope. Jesus said that as long as he's in the world, he is the light of this world. And that is what we should be. As the followers of Christ, we should be the light. The light in our neighborhoods, the light in our offices, the light in our classrooms. Even when we walk on the street, we should be the light. I've got a dry throat, so please forgive me for drinking lots of water. So let's read Proverbs 4. Now this is partially the answer that the Lord gave me, because, you know, as many of you will know, the people that stand up here and preach aren't perfect. We will never be perfect. Neither me, nor Philip, nor whoever preaches. And many times, the stuff that I go through, the stuff I fight through, you know, God actually gives me ideas and shows me, just like with you, and I just get to share it on a pulpit. So let's read Proverbs 4, verse 23 and onwards. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Verse 24. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder on the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established." Keep your heart with all diligence, if out of it springs the issues of life. When I read that, this huge sign just jumped up that says, take responsibility. It doesn't say, ask God to keep your mind pure, or keep your heart pure. No, it says, you keep your heart with all diligence, if out of it springs the issues of life. What goes on here affects everything. What you allow to fix in your heart, what you allow to come into your heart, affects your tomorrows. Affects everything, because that is who you become. So taking responsibility, keeping your heart pure. Verse 24. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." It doesn't say ask for God to do it. It says you do it. Put it away. Chuck it out the window. Do you know the power it has, our mouths has? I most probably will say it again later, but I was just struck about an interview that I saw with Oprah. A guy just asked her, "What is the cause of all your success? Why are you so successful?" And she simply said, "Her father taught her that she can do anything." With his words, he built her up. And it's not a very godly example, but the fact is, her father built her up. And as Christians, our mouths has more power. We can build up much more. But we can also break down much more. How many times does... You all were kids. Did you go home after school and just cry on your bed because somebody said something nasty, or somebody, you know, just mentioned that your dress is dirty, or your suitcase has a hole in it, or your books doesn't look that nice? You remember that pain? It still has the same power. Tongues still have the same power. We still can choose whether we want to build up or whether we want to break down with our mouths. Verse 25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead." Guys, what do you keep your eyes busy with? You know, and in the olden days, you actually had to go look for trouble. Now, you drive on the highway and there's these huge signs that nobody can miss. When you walk into Clicks, there's all these glossy magazines with junk in them. Wherever we go, if you put on the television, even if you watch a fantastic movie, you know, either the previews or the adverts in between, you know, we need to make the decision before the time, you know, that we are going to keep our eyes pure. It's no longer our decision to not put anything wicked before our eyes. We'll get to that later, but we need to make sure before the time. If we see a lady walking down the road with a really low cleavage, look away. We need to make that decision before the time. If we get the urge just to curse a taxi driver, we need to make the decision before the time that our mouths don't go there. If we have this urge to really, you know, tell somebody a story or gossip about someone, we need to make the decision before the time that we don't go there. Anyway, verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet. What goes on in your mind? Is your mindset on where you're going? What is God's heart for you? How to achieve that? You know, is that the things that you are putting your mind to? Or are you putting your mind to, how can I convince my lecturer to give me an extra 5 marks? Or how can I convince my boss that I'm the better candidate for this post? Or how can I convince my best friend's girlfriend that I'm actually a better guy? What is the stuff that's going on in your mind? We need to take responsibility for that. So now we've got the four steps, or the 4 points. Keeping your heart, keeping your lips, keeping your eyes, and your mind. So let's look at them one by one. So we start off by reading Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. If you sit here tonight and just be honest with yourself, what is the treasure you hold here? What is the thing you're nurturing here in your heart? Can I have some examples? Your new Nissan Duke, or your bank account, or whatever it may be. Nobody want to give me any suggestions? Fantastic. Not a fantastic car, but a fantastic idea. Why do we focus on things that's temporary? When last did you actually sit down and just dream about heaven? You know, just close your eyes and just dream about the golden streets. When I dream of heaven, I smell an orange grove next to heaven. I'm not sure, but that's the dream I have. You know, and heaven is a constant 26, 27 degrees with a cool breeze blowing. When I think of heaven, I just see these pools of water, and I just hear these violin music. When last did you sit down actually positively dreamed about heaven? What it's going to be like spending eternity with Christ. No more regrets. No more pain. No more death. No more illness. No more rejection. What is that going to be like? Huh? We're going to spend eternity with Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing to dream about? Amazing thing to think about? But instead, we allow our hearts to dream about living in Waterkloof. Or we allow our hearts to dream about, you know, going to Europe for a 3 months vacation. We need to take control of our hearts and have eternal dreams instead of just having temporary dreams. Is there any sports people here tonight? Anybody that's really focused on sports? If you ask any sports people, you know, what is the focus? What is their focus before a huge race? It is not about the paycheck. It is not about, you know, the interview on TV afterwards. Before a big race, they actually sit down, they actually meditate, they actually focus on, you know, after the race, standing on the podium and receiving the medal, you know, doing the handshake and receiving the medal. Or if you play a team sport, you know, afterwards, getting that cup, that golden cup. They actually sit, they actually meditate on that. They actually dream about that. Now, why as Christians don't we do that? Why do we keep our hearts, you know, bound to earth? Bound to earthly stuff. And we don't focus on the big picture. We don't focus on eternity. It's much better there than here, I'm sure. Secondly, our tongues. You know, as a married man, these lips and this tongue has gotten me into more trouble than what I ever did or ever thought or ever anything else. But your tongue can get you into so much trouble. Psalm 34 from verse 12. Who is a man who desires life, who loves many days that he might see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. David says, keep your tongue from evil. If you really want to tick me off, come and gossip with, you know, to me. Tell me about this brother or this sister that's done this and done that, and I should really go speak to them. But don't offer to pray with me for them. You know, if people just bring you stories, that just irritates me. And I'm pretty sure, you know, God has the same. If you don't have the heart to pray for someone that's going through a tough time, don't bother carrying the stories to other people about it. We must be so careful what comes out of our mouths. As I said earlier, that the, you know, Oprah Winfrey said that she's successful because her father said, told her that she can do anything. What will happen if you tell your friend that really struggles with maths or with whatever, every morning you wake up and you tell him, listen, man, today you're going to wax at maths. Today is the day you're going to understand it completely. Today is the day we are going to, you know, become kings of maths. But instead, many times we choose to actually, you know, use our lips to break down. We use our lips to say negative, to hurt people. Somebody accidentally did something to you. You know, you are going to hoy them with words until they're on their knees. But what does a wise man do with his tongue? What does a wise man do with his lips? Just a little bit further in Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. And he, sorry. And his tongue talks of justice. Do we speak wisdom? Do we speak justice? Is that what's coming out of our mouths? That should be. Proverbs 18. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now on the farm, we've got a little sower that it's mainly for grass. It's got fine seeds. It sows fine seeds. So just imagine this 20-liter bag with this little gizmo at the bottom. It's got these blades at the 30, 40-degree angle with a little lip. And as soon as you start turning the little handle on the side, the grain starts, the seed starts to fall on these blades, and it just throws it, just propels it all in front of you. That little thing throws the seeds about 5-6 meters to your left. So you walk up, and you sow on this side, and then you turn around, and you come back, and you walk back down again. Now, that is our tongues. If you put good seed in, you will reap good seed. If you put bad seed in, you will reap bad seed. So what is the seed that you are sowing with your tongue? What is the seed that you are sowing with your lips? Now, just before you all feel condemned, as I said, this is something that I'm struggling with as well, to really be the difference. So don't be compelled. Don't feel condemned. Because there's good news. And while we're on this earth, we won't be perfect. But God is here to make us more perfect. So the next one I want to touch on is eyes. Read from Matthew 6, verse 22. Now the lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What you allow through your eyes, what you allow in through your eyes, is going to make a little nest here in your heart. If you allow horror movies in all the time, guess what? You're going to get depressed, bitter, just poisoned with all that junk. Guys, let's talk straight for a second. If you allow pornography in, guess what's going to fester here in your heart? Lust. You know, there's a study been done in America that 47% of Christians say that pornography is a major challenge in their homes. And I don't think South Africa is that much difference. I think many of us guys that are sitting here has a problem with pornography, has a struggle, you know, keeping our eyes pure, keeping our thoughts pure. But we'll get to the good answer. You know that pornography is actually a drug? The more you get, the more you want. You know, with the drugs, you know, saying, let's take half a capsule now, and in 2 weeks' time, it will become a full capsule. In 2 months' time, it will become 3 capsules. And pornography is the same. It grows. It becomes worse and worse and worse. And pornography has a sense of destroying everything around you. I had a friend that was in Shofar with us about 8 years ago, and he got messed up with this junk. He lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost his friends, all because of pornography. You know, pornography won't allow you to have any other relationships. It literally just breaks down. It just destroys. So if you struggle with that tonight, don't go home before you did not speak to anybody here in front. We would really love to pray with you, love to walk a road with you, but don't go out of this building before you've dealt with it, okay? Okay. Now, David says here in Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will know no wickedness. Funny that he says, firstly, he will set no wicked thing before his eyes, and then he says, a perverse heart will flee from him. Because that's the way it works. Whatever we allow in through here makes a little home here. So if we allow junk in here, that's what our hearts are going to be. Do I need to say it again so that we can understand? You all get it. We need to be so careful. And unlike David, he said he will put no wicked thing before his eyes. We don't have that luxury of making that choice because wicked things are everywhere. Whether it's TV programs that just, you know, has blaspheme shows or whether it's just junk everywhere. But we need to make the decision before the time that if that comes on, we switch off. If we see that in the store, we turn away. If we look at the billboard, we look down. I've got an agreement with my wife that if we were walking the street and you see a girl with a cleavage up to here, that the first thing I do is I tell her. You know, I'll just tell her, Liffy, help. And she always does. Because she knows that we as guys, we are visually programmed. The next one, our minds. Now we spoke about the dreams, but this is more the things we think about. You know, many of us will just be so focused, you know, just surviving Monday. And then just focus on just surviving Tuesday. And then just surviving the weekend. We get so busy with just surviving, just, you know, allowing our minds to just, okay, I need to go through this meeting, I need to write that exam, I need to be in that class, that we never keep our mind busy with that which is really important. The heart of God. As Thierry just testified, just about the enormous need that is out there. And if the girl that drives past her was just too busy thinking about, need to get to cell, need to get home, need to start studying, her heart was actually open. She could actually hear God's voice speaking, look there, that lady needs help. Don't drive past. We need to keep our minds open to whatever is on God's heart. Now, Paul writes in Philippians 4. From verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things. Paul says, keep your mind busy with that which is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. That is virtue, and that is praiseworthy. Instead of keeping our minds busy with surviving, or keep our minds busy with, you know, how am I going to break into that bank, or whatever. You know, that's a stupid example, but whatever we keep our minds busy, we need to make a conscious decision that God is first. His heart, His plans, His desires are first. And that is what we focus on. Colossians 3 from verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. With Christ, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The moment we give our lives to Christ, that's exactly what we do. We give our lives. We have no right to our lives anymore. We give it away. We say, God, have your way. Then why don't we live like that? Why do I struggle to live like that? You know, if you have to make a decision on the spot, you immediately think, okay, what will suit me the best, and what will I get out of this? Instead of really asking God, what is your heart's desire for this? What is your heart's desire? You know, should I buy this new car, or, man, I need a new car, so let's just buy it. Instead of, God, should I buy this new car, or should I actually give half of the money to somebody that's struggling to pay their tuition? Or should I sponsor somebody to go to Bloemfontein on missions? Instead of first thinking what will suit me, what I get out of it, firstly think about what is God's heart. Ask Him, what do you want me to do? Now, I'm not saying step out of the world. I'm not saying you cannot use your money. We'll get to that now. Now, I don't want to run ahead of myself. But these are the four points. Our hearts, our lips, our eyes, and our mind. Now, I want to add a fifth one. Our ears. Now, Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you hear God's word, that is where your faith is going to grow. But what will happen if you hear constant negativity? Constant people just, you know, trashing the government and trashing the world economic system and trashing everything they can trash. That's also where your faith will grow. Your faith comes by hearing. Whatever you allow to your ears to enter, that is where your faith will grow. You know, I'm a big 702 fan. They sometimes have the greatest guests, and they have the really interesting discussions. But every now and again, they've got something called an open line, when they allow anybody to phone in. You can phone in, you can raise your question or whatever. But I just get like lum when I hear that. Because it has become just a moan session. You know, everyone will just phone in and say, the robot outside my street has been broken for 2 months now. And somebody else will phone in and say, there's a pothole right in front of my gate and nobody wants to fix it. And my cell phone doesn't work. And my, you know, whatever. It has just become this nightmare. And if you allow that all day, you will become negative. Some of my family, if I spend time, you know, with them, crying or whatever, I can catch myself after 2 or 3 hours starting to be negative. I'm normally a positive guy. You know, life is great. Except if you don't sleep enough and all that kind of stuff. But life is great. Kids give you a hard time, but life is great. But The moment I, as I say, you know, if I spend time with some of my family and they're just constantly telling me, you know, life is just bad and you know, you work hard and then you die. There's no point to life. You know, and they just come with all these ridiculous stories. But after 2 or 3 hours of that, some of that actually takes root and I actually become like that. You know, Yakumin needs to shake me awake and tell me, don't go there. You know, what do you allow your ears to listen? You know, some of these comic actors you hear on the radio, man, we should just run away from them. We should take the responsibility and not allow any junk to come into our ears. Not allow, you know, people that just has lots of hate in them just to offload it on us. We should really start to take responsibility, not just for our hearts, our lips, our eyes, our mind, but also our ears. Okay, great. But how do we do that? How do we live like Christians in a world that won't allow you to be a Christian? How do we live like Christians that is supposed to be the light when everybody just wants to put a bucket on your candle? Let's just backtrack 1 second. As I said, I'm not speaking about if you work hard that you cannot enjoy your money. I'm not saying if you there's a really great scripture in Ecclesiastes 5, from verse 18, that actually says, it is good for a man to eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor, for which he works all the day under the sun. It is good to enjoy the money that you have. So I'm not speaking specifically about money, but I'm speaking about the attitudes we live in. And how do we live like Christians when the world tells us that we should look like the world? Can I ask the band to come up? Firstly, by repenting. You know, the moment we repent, the moment we humble ourselves, we say, God, I have a struggle to keep my heart pure. I have a struggle to keep my lips pure. I have a struggle to keep my eyes from all the junk that surrounds me. I have a struggle to keep my thoughts pure. I have a struggle to keep my eyes, my ears pure. The moment we humble ourselves, the moment we ask God for help, guess what He does? He comes and He helps. So I just want to close up with 2 Corinthians 7 from verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. The moment we say, God, help, God helps. He comes in, He gives you that friend to walk with you, that will phone you every morning and say, okay, so last night, did you switch on the computer? Did you go to that website? That will ask you, okay, how many taxis did you curse this morning? Let's repent, let's trust God for the rest of the day. We won't say one negative thing. We won't let one bad word come out of your mouth. We will stop gossiping. We will stop dreaming about earthly stuff, but we will start dreaming about eternal stuff. We'll stop thinking constantly just about this world and what I need to survive in this world and what I need to be the first rat in the rat race. Instead, we put our minds on that which has eternal value. Put our minds on that which is on God's heart. Can I just ask that we all stand? And I just want to ask the band just to lead us again into the word, You Alone Are God.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.